Looking at mostly clear skies this evening. Windy again, sunny. Tomorrow, highs in the 60s. Mostly clear at night. It will be windy as well for Wednesday night. Lows into the 30s. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and rolling out to, we'll just say rolling out to next week, we're looking at sunny skies. Highs in the 60s, mostly clear at night, lows into the 30s. For you boaters, small craft advisory in effect through Wednesday morning. Again, small craft advisory is in effect through Wednesday morning. But with that said, it's time for Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Ooh, I love that roar.
Oh, absolutely. California is roaring.
I see the bear on your shirt, Ron.
Yes, I got this new shirt. I had shirts made, or we had them made, Wake the Bear Radio. And, you know, it was done by Custom Cultures.
Wow.
Designs.
And they did a good job.
They did. They did such a good job. They turned around real well. And
I've already had three people ask to buy one.
I know. I've got to get back with them. I think I'm going to have to start ordering some more.
We have to do a big, big shipment.
Yeah. Maybe we should sell them at our cost just to get it out there, you know. But it's a good looking logo.
So. Yeah. Nick, our nighttime engineer, is wearing one, and he is going to be toting it in the harbor.
Looking sharp. Absolutely. He looks sharp. He's our model.
That's right. And these shirts definitely are guaranteed to knock 10 pounds off any photo. So.
Yes, because they're black.
They're black. That's right.
Well, hey, we got a lot going on, Wake the Bear Radio. It's time to keep waking people up here in California. California is the bear.
That's right.
And it's time to wake her up because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on that needs to be exposed. But we don't just expose what's going on, but we expose it with an atmosphere of hope, because we believe that there is a God above who's overseeing and who is sovereign, and we trust in him. And we believe that this nation and this state was dedicated to him many times before. And so we're just waking up the bear to fight, because I really believe that if we just fight, if the people in this state would just fight back against the demonic agendas that are going on, we would win. We're not outnumbered. We're just out-organized. So that's what we're all about, is helping activate and organize people in the fight, helping restore your voice, your roar as a bear.
That's right.
Yeah, and a lot of what we want to awaken people to are some of the harmful policies and practices that are deteriorating the strength and the foundation of our nation, our families, and our liberties. And so having said that, there were some things that happened to you today,
weren't there,
Brandon?
Today was a frustrating day. I had a couple things that happened to me and a friend of mine. And oh gosh, so there's a friend of mine who I'm really close to. She's a medical professional, and they announced through Santa Clara that the county of Santa Clara, that all medical professionals have to still be vaccinated. Even though the Supreme Court decided that the OSHA thing was unconstitutional, apparently only medical professionals don't have the right to choose their own medical choices. So this friend of mine, she works at a massive HMO, and they are demanding she get vaccinated, and she doesn't actually physically see patients face-to-face. She does it all online.
Oh.
And they're still demanding she get tested twice a week now, just to make her life more difficult. So it's very frustrating.
No,
but then,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Then another thing happened. My wife does the finances for our church, and she went to go drop off to the bank the money for the drop off. And there's this new policy they've enacted. They said they're doing their system differently, and anybody who drops off cash to any account has to be given all of their personal information, which I think is okay. But it was like it just smelled a lot of like the coming communism, tracking like the government tracking every dollar you spend, but we don't get to track the dollars they spend. And that's frustrating to me, because there's so much that my taxpayer money is going to that I disagree with, to Planned Parenthood, to so many other things, and yet I think it was that one thing that Pelosi was trying to pass was like $600 of cash. Anything over $600 was going to be tracked by the federal government, the federal government. I mean, that's complete.
Yeah.
BS, man. Like, so I'm just frustrated that I trust that there's some good stuff going on as well. But that was just reminding me that this is what it looks like when government gets too much power. They consolidate their power and they think that they're they're gods. And government is not God. There is one God, and He does not look like our government.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I do think as we remind ourselves that part of the awakening process is some of this painful stuff that we're going through that's so frustrating, and that this is the ability for people to have their own journey. They have to be shaken awake, and we shouldn't be too surprised when we actually see things manifest that we've been hearing rumors about. So we need to be ready to give an account. We need to be ready to stand up and to link arms. We need to know how to say no to those that are pushing against us, and we want to know legally what our rights are, and we want to be able to have an articulate message to give. But I've got some good news.
We could always use some good news. Come on.
Well, and I want to thank many of our listeners who actually participated in the end game of this good news, AB 1400, which was on the California Senate's House of Representatives legislative floor yesterday. It fizzled for a lack of love.
Awesome.
Because there were quite a few people who called in. They emailed their legislator, and I believe that it was something that began to manifest good things. It was going to cost over $350 billion price tag for one payer healthcare. So, wow. Thank you, Jesus, that thing is dead as a doornail.
Mm. Hey, just for our listeners' sake, those that aren't aware, what is the one-payer healthcare?
Basically called CalCare. So I don't know how caring it is, but it would eliminate Medicare, and it would eliminate private health care. Mm. And so we would be required with taxpayer base. They didn't really have a plan. How are we going to pay for this? But they were going to eliminate all privatization of what we're using now as our health insurance. And basically, California would administer health care and the insurance policy. So, you know, like EDD and DMV, that it would be CalCare.
CalCare.
How bad could it get?
I don't know, comrade.
Well, yeah. But the thing, too, is like I actually know somebody who works for another HMO, and basically they're like, it would destroy private health care, basically. And so the big guns like Kaiser are against it, and that's probably one of the reasons why it lost.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why the nurses' union was behind it, but the medical community, for the most part, and definitely the pharmaceutical companies were against it because they're going to go to bare minimum as far as giving reimbursements for things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everything is crazy right now. If you think about what nurses are doing, I mean, they're saying, hey, let's get them on a ventilator, and you can't have hydroxychloroquine or, ivermectin. So nothing seems to make sense anymore. Yeah. So who knows what the motive is behind, what we're seeing.
But that is good news. I have another, I have an action. You guys can't see this on the show, but I'd like us all to go like this.
I used to drive a fire engine, so I know how those air horns work, and they are fun.
I think we should all be, every time we see any truck, pull this and then make this the new cry against mandates.
Yeah, hey, that is a solidarity, isn't it? Especially with the Canadian convoy that's happening.
Yes, yeah. It's making the news everywhere.
100 kilometers long.
Wow.
The largest in world history, the largest convoy in world history. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest convoy. Oh, but Trudeau says, oh, it's just a few people with unacceptable views.
Fringe. They were a fringe cult.
Cult with unacceptable perceptions of reality. Oh, we're not allowed to have our own ideas. So
I did a deep dive on that, trying to figure out how many people or how many trucks were involved, because, you know, you look at fake news and they said, oh, you know, especially that I did, you know, Guinness Book of World Record, and they're like, oh, it's definitely not. It's just a false thing that's going out there. And then they say, you know, they're claiming that this many people came, I think 50,000 trucks. And then they don't give any evidence of how many trucks they
did
count. They don't even, they just say, you know, there's just not.
And they just fact check and say it's not real, right?
Yeah.
But the Canadian government now just announced that they're going to fine $1,000 for anybody coming out to the side of the road to cheer them on.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
My wife just...
Oh, my goodness. And my understanding is that, come on, American truckers, that there's going to be some solidarity with the United States of America. It's going to start in California and go to Washington, D.C. So,
I think
if we have a supply line issue, I am not going to cry about it, because I say, you truckers, go after it.
Go after
I think your stuff now.
You know, they can't control the radio waves of the CB radios.
Yeah,
people can talk, right? I almost want to get a CB radio just to have one to listen to what they're talking about, you know?
You know, the harder they push, the harder people will push back. Yeah. I mean, they're just digging themselves. They, as in deep state, is digging themselves in holes right now.
What did Leia say to Vader and Hope, the new Hope? The tighter you squeeze, the more galaxies will slip through your fingers.
Wow. Well, that is good news. Good news to see that people are rising up together. And it's not just the United States. It's around the world. I mean, you're still seeing huge protests over in Europe and stuff like that.
They're going to do a truck convoy in Europe. And they're going to go to Belgium, is my understanding. And it's the EU, basically, their headquarters. So I'm excited that the Europeans are joining in, too.
That's great. Truckers they can't drive. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, we have a special subject tonight.
Yeah, let's get into it, shall we? Well, it's going to be 2 weeks. We're going to focus on all things military for the next 2 weeks. One of the reasons is because last week we talked about the attack on our children. But it's a multi-pronged attack on every sector of society to conform it to the image of the World Economic Forum. And one of the areas is our military, which if you want to weaken a country, you weaken the military. So we're seeing thousands and thousands of military being kicked out of the military because they won't take this experimental injection that's not been approved by the FDA other than a universal emergency approval. So I'm really frustrated to hear about that. I mean, it's really, and then of course we've got the Joe Biden and the administration saber rattling for war with Russia, which is just insanity to me. And everybody's saying, listen, just stay out of this. And it's almost like they want a war. And I've got some theories on why this is the big focus.
I think they
want
a war. You know, I mean, even Europe's not even as alarmed as the U.S. and their neighbors, you know. So, I just think they're shaking a rattle.
Yeah, well, like so many wars, there's a lot of tension going on in the Russian and Ukrainian border. As the main complaint, it seems, is that Russia is doing what Russia has a right to do, which is put troops on their border when they're concerned about the NATO interference and some other the EU interference. And so it's sometimes hard to figure out what is really going on, except for that we know that that there are troops from America that are being sent and to Europe right now, and they're getting ready in case there is a bit of an eruption. My concern is that, you know, this is going to be a CIA-started conflict. And like so many other wars, they have manipulated regions, and I'm concerned that they're going to be manipulating this region too.
Yep. Absolutely.
And the people of both countries and the surrounding regions are going to suffer death and destruction and hardship. And all it takes is like a stray or a planned Tomahawk missile to hit a certain site, and then finger pointing and fake news, and boom, we're involved in a major war.
Do you find it interesting that our southern border, it takes a backseat to this? It's like a border over in Europe is more important to the resident in the White House than our own southern border.
Do you see that resident being able to de-escalate the situation with strength and dignity?
Actually, he's having bouts of anger now. They're, you know, I think it was last week and the week before, just the mainstream media coverage of him saying, yeah. Hey, he's starting to lose it. I mean, they're actually admitting that. Yeah. He has these bouts of anger. So and that's kind of a dementia sort of thing. At least that's what they're saying.
Yeah, well, we'd hate to see our military involved in a conflict that doesn't need to go forward. Amen. So be praying for peace.
Pray for peace.
Yeah, and just know that it's interesting that they're getting this conflict is at such a hot time when people are being told to leave the military if they don't get their jabby jab. I loved what Trump said on the rally this weekend in Texas. Did either of you happen to hear his speech? He was talking about, he said the GOP Congress should pass a bill rehiring every single member of the military who was cruelly and wrongfully terminated by Joe Biden's COVID mandate and force the Pentagon to give these patriots an apology with back pay.
Yeah, I'm all for that. And then put them on the border. Let them defend the border.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't our VP border. Supposed to go down there? Wasn't she assigned to go down to the southern border?
The czar, yeah, she's the czar of the border.
Yeah, good job she's done.
Kamala Harris, yeah. She's been there once, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it was 1,000 miles away from the area of concern. Wow. So, yeah, anyone can go there.
Well, okay, so let's jump in a little more further about the military here. Here's one of the things that came up. I regularly watch Monkey Works. Monkey Works, if you guys aren't familiar with him, he is a former... Air Force military. He's a gentleman who's studying the scriptures. He's actually in seminary right now, but he does a sit-trap every week, sometimes two or three times a week, and he talks about where the aircrafts are moving. He'll talk about the C-130s and the C-17s, the big movers of bodies, and then the growth in Gitmo, like the digital photos from aerial photos of Gitmo are like, it's now like 10 times the size it's ever been. And wondering why that is. But he talks about that there were 16 military pilots that quit F-22 Raptors. And he said, just to train one of those pilots is like $3 million, just to train one of those to fly one of those planes. So if you lose 16 pilots to COVID-19, now some people are saying, oh, that's not a real story. I don't really know, because usually it's the fact checkers from CNN and MSNBC that tell you it isn't true. But if you lose those a few pilots like that, we're talking, can you imagine 16, 20, 30 mm-hmm. pilots? How much money has been wasted if you lose those pilots?
Lots of money.
Yeah.
Lots
well, it's not just money. You can't get experience back. Nope. My dad was a fighter pilot. I'm a military brat. And he was part of Secretary of the Joint Chief of Staff. And we were at the Pentagon for quite a few years. And I know the training that goes into those military pilots, and it's not something that we could get back easily.
No.
You know, the military seems to have been abused from its inception. I mean, I know they send these boys and young ladies to war, but I mean, there's a history of just abuse. And I know tonight we were going to talk about the vaccines and how many people are being affected adversely for that. You know, I just looked up and just tried to see what kind of history of what kind of background we have, where we've abused our own service people. You know, back in 1931, there was Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, you know, Rhodes Scholar, that guy, and he's supported by Rockefeller, another name that seems to be nefarious in this area. They started all kinds of medical procedures. They started injecting radiation and plutonium into people just to see what would happen. And that was back in 1931. And then there's a whole bunch of other things. And by the time you're at 1940, you know, they're going into prisoners in Chicago and they're injecting them with malaria through mosquitoes. And then they want to study what kind of reactions they have. This is all for medical. You know, by the time you start getting close to World War II, like 1942, they're doing gas experiments on like 4,000 servicemen just to see what kind of like mustard gas, things like that. How does that affect? You go to 1945, Project Paperclip is initiated. And, you know, there's a bunch of CIA, a bunch of Nazis. You know, and they're using them. Then you go. again, just going down towards World War II. I mean, just, you know, remember the atomic bombs? They're just like, hey, watch, you know, watch this. Put some sunglasses on, you know. I mean, they didn't really do a deep study. Maybe they didn't know at the time, but they even had servicemen. They had seven servicemen a mile away from Ground Zero, and it was four times bigger than Hiroshima. And the report says that there was a negligible effect on them. It's like, are you kidding? They were either vaporized or, you know. And yeah. So that's the kind of work. And I'm almost done. I'm just going to skip down to, actually, let's just go to Bill Clinton. You know, they did everything since then. I mean, you know, Gulf War syndrome and all that. You know, the chemical agents, they knew they were exposed to it, and they would deny it, and they let them in harm's way. Yeah. But by the time you get to, like, 1997, all of a sudden you have Bill Clinton doing executive orders forcing unapproved vaccines on the military. Mm. And that was an order, executive order. And then they said that court-martials were pending. So they actually were court-martialing people that had rejected getting experimental vaccines. Yeah. And now look at today, you know, what, 20-plus years later.
I think it's a precedent that's a dangerous precedent that's been set, and we're still seeing it. And that's all of these things that we're seeing that are unprecedented are setting new precedents. And from, you know, with all these vaccine mandates. But one of the things that just came out this week, and I got like three different friends send me this video. This lawyer, Renz, he's actually doing filed a lawsuit against the United States military because they have whistleblowers, actual whistleblowers this time, who have found on the DMED data, which is basically the VAERS for military, the Department of Defense whistleblowers coming forth and saying that the amount of people that are getting sick or dying from the shot is way higher, but somebody's going in and redoctoring the data, and they presented this lawsuit to Senator Ron Johnson, and Senator Ron Johnson put a moratorium on those, all that information, making sure that it's protected, and all the documents are being gathered right now to prove that this is what's going on. But they're talking about like certain sicknesses, like 350% increase, right? And there's a bunch of them here, actually. Heart attacks, 269% increase after the vax. Pericarditis, 175% increase. Myocarditis, 285% increase. Pulmonary embolisms, 467% increase. Mm. Cerebral infractions, 393%. Bell's palsy, 319% increase. Guillain-Barré, 250%. Immune deficiencies are at 275% increase. Menstrual irregularities, 476%. Multiple sclerosis, 487%. Miscarriages, 300%, 306% more. And then HIV, somehow there's a tie in here, 590% more.
That is cases weird. Of HIV. Well, it's
actually
makes
in
you
the
wonder
vaccine.
What's in there. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, and these last two, Chris, that we mentioned too.
Yeah, the chest pain was 1,529%, and then acute dyspnea, which is labored breathing, is 905%. I mean, these are statistically significant, and not to demand some sort of audit of these systems, and then to think that there are people in the DOD going in to manipulate data. It's really highly disturbing.
What's the attorney's name? Renz, was it?
Let me get his first name.
He was making his appeal to Senator Ron Johnson. Yeah, and it was just appalling. And the video I got sent three times from three different friends on Facebook, and I went to go check them today, and Facebook dropped them. So some 25-year-old kid sitting behind a computer deciding he's a fact checker, because we know that's just opinion, took him down. So there's actually have a website. I want to put it on there about this entire case. So when we our notes, you can go see them. But his name is what?
Thomas Renz.
Yeah, attorney Thomas Renz. And he was there with another well-known lawyer. They were presenting this information. So it's a real thing. This is not just some fake stuff going out. This is a real deal. It's a lawsuit. And I actually think that's the way we're going to win this, is we have to protest. We have to use our voice, and we need to file lawsuits.
Lawsuits.
Because that's the only way it's going to get into the actual discovery phase, where there's an actual investigation, you know, court investigation.
Yep. So. Absolutely. You know what really concerns me about those numbers that you have is, you know, when you're in war, then your physical activity goes up, right? I mean, you know, not everybody in the military is working out every day, running as fast as they can, right? I mean, they're doing their day-to-day work in mechanic and things like that. Have you noticed how many soccer players have fallen on the field? I mean, it's
over 30. I've seen 30 videos of fall, understood, like uninvestigated, unexplained soccer players, high athletes dying or falling.
But you don't see it in other sports. You don't see it in golf. You don't see it in even baseball or football like you do.
Is golf a sport?
Well, that could be debatable.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is you have to push to a certain limit for that to get triggered sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Think about all the ticking time bombs that could be in the military. And if we went to war, they're like, you're active duty now. And all of a sudden you are running for your life or whatever. That may be when the heart gives out.
Wow.
Myocarditis. And that makes me nervous. It scares me.
Yeah,
I mean, talking about weakening a military right when you need it.
So we're on KSCO. This is Wake the Bear Radio. If we're going to be taking calls here in about 5 minutes, 479-1080. Looks like we might even already have a call. Yeah, so I think let's take a couple calls, and then let's bring up some more of what we've got.
So we got Kent. Kent, you're on the air.
Welcome. Yeah, I was just calling previously to open in the room that Pacific Institute was taking on cases on vaccines.
Oh, okay. So
they were looking for a lawyer.
Okay.
And I just wanted to mention Pacific Institute. They were taking on the cases.
Is that Pacific Institute of Justice? What is it called?
Pacific Justice.
Yeah, they're like lawyers. I don't know the rest of the name, but it's Pacific Institute. And Elephant in the Room was looking for people to take on a case for the school.
Yeah, we're going to have to file cases.
Yes.
We're going to have a protest, and we got to file legal cases. That's excellent. Ken, anything else you want to say?
No, that was all.
I'll put that in the show notes.
We'll put
it
in the show notes.
So if you want to go to www.wakethebearradio.com, we will have it on tonight's show notes by tomorrow morning. So if you're looking for an attorney, go there.
Mm-hmm. Please look for an attorney. That's what we're asking.
Yeah.
If you got a case, file it. We need to fight.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Either of you,
so if you could tell Elephant in the Room that this is about Pacific Institute because they were gonna be looking for a lawyer.
Okay, well yeah, we'll reach out to Elephant. We love those guys; they're our friends.
Absolutely, thanks a lot, Ken.
Yeah, the military are people that we should be protecting. We should have the most honor with. I don't know if either of you read the article about the military and the election fraud that's being investigated right now in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona.
Whoa.
But the overseas voting of the uniforms absentee voting process has been audited. And I was watching Paul Harris was one of the ones that was in Maricopa County, and he was part of the auditing team that specifically took the group of ballots from the overseas voting personnel. And he said he was showing them to the Senate committee, and they were basically a box of Xerox copies that were supposedly gathered from troops from emails, and they were the only record of the votes from overseas for that county. 95% of them were for Joe Biden with no chain of custody or tracking record, and there were 8 times more overseas ballots of these Xerox copy 8x11 white pieces of paper than there were 8 times more than there were for the previous elections. So that would have accounted for almost all of the 10,000 votes that Joe Biden won by supposedly in Arizona alone. And this was just one of the counties in Arizona. In Michigan, there were similar things. There was testimony that was given about the Xerox copies. It was the same type of deal. And they didn't have any sort of registration. They had to be manually entered, and their birthdays were all 1-1-2020 because they had to manually enter these, but there was no chain of custody, and they had no evidence that they were registered voters.
So not only is the military being, you know, used and abused on a war that they shouldn't.
That's right.
And then their vote, I mean, their their rights to their own medical freedom are being taken, but they're voting for the person who is their commander in chief has also been taken from them.
Well, how ironic that these individuals who are protecting our freedoms are having their own liberties stolen by stolen votes.
Wow. That's absolutely horrible. And they're treated horribly. I mean, you think about a year ago, right, after the January 6th event.
Oh, the pretend election?
Made them, it was freezing out there, and they made them all sleep in a parking garage.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's snow and ice outside, and they're staying in, they were ordered to go there. I mean, they're just treated with disrespect in so many ways.
No, Ron, there's some good things going on with the military, too. There's this theory of devolution that we're going to talk about next week, and there's also the law of war. Both of these are talking about how there are black hats and white hats within the military, and the white hats are actually in control, and there's actually some things that are going on, some executive orders that were signed by Trump during his presidency that make it clear that he gave over powers to other parts of the government to protect it.
It sure appears that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about devolution next week, and we're also going to be talking about law of war, and there's some stuff on there. And these are really, really in-depth theories that are really powerful that I think are actually pretty solid.
There's a lot of people talking about it.
So we'll be talking about that more next week. Do we have any more callers?
Yeah. Actually, we have another caller, so let's get that one on. That's Dave. Dave, you're on the air.
Evening, everyone. How you doing?
Welcome, Dave.
Great.
Right on. Well, I wanted to call in and offer some source material for any listeners who may be interested in, I guess what you would call an alternative history to World War II, which, of course, we right now know that Ukraine and Russia, there's stuff going on over there.
Yep.
And this is a book by Chris John Bjerknes. And the name of the book is Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik, and Zionist. And obviously everyone is very well versed in the official narrative, the given narrative. Hitler's evil. He hates Jews. He comes through Germany and seeks, with the anti-Semitic agenda, to overtake it as a totalitarian perpetrator. And I want to read to you, if that's all right, an excerpt, just one sentence from this, and see if I can stir up some interest.
Please do, Dave. Right? Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right. So this is just from the first page of the book. It says, quote, Joseph Stalin wanted Adolf Hitler to provoke the Second World War in order to create the chaotic conditions needed for a communist world revolution and the expansion of the Soviet Union across Eastern Europe. So I hope that kind of instills a little intrigue in everyone to go check that book out. The name of the volume you'll want as well, it's Volume 1, Communism. He's got 4 volumes on the subject. So I wanted to offer that up for any listeners interested in background.
That's great, man. We really need to be using our brains and not just believing the garbage that we're being fed through the media. That's one of our biggest things, is that, you know, you got 6 corporations right now that have control over 95% of the media, and they don't have our best interest in mind, and I don't think they had our best interest in mind back in World War II or in the Civil War. I mean, all the way back, there are things that are going on behind the scenes that we are not privy to, and it's important for us to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and reading some material here to really question the narrative.
Absolutely. You know, just because it's different than what you've been fed doesn't always make it right. However, it's worth reading and looking into. And so this sounds like a very intriguing topic to look into. I know I've read quite a few alternative things about World War II as well, and it definitely seems like there is a different narrative than what we've been fed. And so, yeah, we'll have that on the show notes. Dave, if you can email us at ron@wakethebearradio.com and give me more details, I'd be more than happy to put those links on just as a show notes.
Yep.
So thanks a lot. And we don't have any more callers, so let's keep talking.
Okay.
So what else is going on with the military?
Well, I think it's important to know. I know if any of you were watching the boards, one of the things that has been said in the past is that there are more with us than against us. Mm. And so we do want to keep up the message of hope that, first of all, we are the answer. We are waking up. The bear is waking up. The fact that we're noticing some things, we're very disturbed. The key is don't get your disturbed heart into despair. And so part of the activities that you want to do is put your places where you're upset and you are you're angry into some action steps of contacting those in the government and coming together with others who are experiencing firsthand some of the things that we're talking about, whether it's having children kept out of classes because they're not vaccinated, or whether it's the vaccine injuries that people are experiencing. We have to let people have their journey, but we want to get our energy in the right direction, and we want to stay together with our messages.
You know, one of the things you cited here, Chris, and as an area of hope is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, it says Elijah prayed to the Lord that his servant was, what his eyes would be open, because there was the enemy armies that were amassing against them, the Arameans. And he told his servant, listen, don't be afraid, for there are those who are with us are more than those, more than them. And then, of course, he prayed that his eyes would be open, and he saw. His eyes were open, and the young man saw the hills were full of horses and chariots and of fire all around Elijah. And then when they went to battle against the Arameans, God intervened and struck the enemy with blindness, which is very interesting. What's going on here is that the enemy, I believe God's going to strike the enemy with blindness. They can't even see that they're losing. But I really believe we are winning, that there's that the more people get woken up, the more they realize that we have more with us than against, you know, with us than against us, we're going to see the tide turn. And I think we're seeing the tide turn.
Absolutely. You know, I see the hard times and the things that we're going through now is actually a good thing.
Yes.
I really believe that. You know, I was talking with Chris earlier, right before the show started. I had read a book called Jasher years ago, and it was a book. It's referenced in scripture twice. I think at the end of Joshua's long day, it says, just as it's written in the book of Jasher. And it talks, Jasher covers from basically Genesis to about Joshua, the history of Israel. And one of the things that I remember that stuck out in my mind was how did Israel or the Israelites get captive in Egypt? How did they become slaves? Because they started off with Joseph, second in command. I mean, he had his family come. They had to have been like really well positioned in Egypt, and over time, and what I see today and I see then was it was incrementalism over time. It took a lot of years between being second in command to, I don't know this Joseph, you know, the next verse says, you know, a new Pharaoh rose and he did not know Joseph. And it's like, how do you come from normal citizenry to slavery? And in this book, Jasher, they talked about, they kept the people busy. The Egyptians kept them busy. The economy was doing well. They had all these building projects to the point where the men would leave their families and they'd go to faraway cities to build projects. They were chasing the money, keeping them busy, and they were distracted. And what had happened, they worked side by side with the Egyptians, and slowly Egypt started to withdraw the Egyptian workers, and there was less and less Egyptian workers. And the next thing you know, it's only Israelites doing the work.
And they're slaves.
And so they weren't slaves yet, but by the time they were separated and in faraway cities, they couldn't unite, and they got them then, and they said, okay, you're slaves now. And boom, it's like, whoa. We have no organization. We're not together. We're away from our families. We're distracted. And that's what I see a parallel today, how the last 50 years, you know, since JFK on or even earlier, you know, it's been a little incrementalism. And, you know, I was just going over the list of some of the things that were done to the servicemen and civilians and stuff, you know, back in the 30s, but a little bit each year.
It's a decay of our culture. That, you know, the nuclear family, the father and the mother and the kids, putting their family first. There's systematic attacks on all families, but especially the black cultures. I mean, there's a lot of systematic attacks going on against our people and against our culture. And I really feel like that part of one of the things we're doing to wake the bear up is we're not being scared to just call it out. that there are forces that working against us. And in that story, even with that I was mentioning before with Elisha, those were angels, armies of angel armies on the hills. We need to realize that there are angel armies ready to fight for us if we will have the courage to step up and fight. But they get activated. The Bible actually literally says that the angels are messengers, and they are servants of the heirs of salvation. So if the church rises up and starts pressing in, we will have the two-thirds of heaven, of the heavenly angels backing us up because a third of them fell. We'll actually win, but we have to fight. And what has happened, unfortunately, is the church has been silenced. The church has been told that they can't have an opinion politically, and we've shrunk back, and we've given over one major mountain of culture to Satan by abnegating our responsibility to speak into it. And it's and the reality is we're supposed to be discipling all of these seven mountains of culture as Christians and as the church, but we're not. And we're saying, oh, well, that, you know, it's worldly, so let's step out of government. Oh, you know, it's divisive. Oh, it's worldly, let's step out of media, right? And all of those things we're actually giving over to the enemy, and this has got to change.
Absolutely.
Hey, one area where it has changed is that there's a letter that went out from school boards in California, and we've been hammering on the school boards, and it went out to the state legislature this past week, and there were 100 school board members that had signed the letter opposing Newsom's mandates and demanding an end to the emergency. And one of those was Happy Valley Unified here in our very own Santa Cruz County. They were the only ones who stood up and supported the other 99 school board members. Wow. And basically they were demanding that the schools get back to work and get back to whatever normalcy is, and that they needed to protect the children, not just from getting sick, but the social, emotional, and mental health of the students. So they wanted a more holistic approach. So I want to give real applaud, a hats off to off. Happy Valley Unified here in Santa Cruz
job.
County.
Woo!
Yeah.
They're fighting.
They are.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got another caller?
We got another caller, so I'm going to patch them through. It's Amber. Amber, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to wake the bear up about ADUs, which are accessory dwelling units, Senate Bill number 9 and number 10. California, I would say more than half are not aware that this bill just went into effect last month in January, which means that your landlord or your own self can build right in the backyard without having going through all the process. And in my particular position, they're taking away my backyard where I have my barbecues and my fire pit, and I have no more room to do anything. They're building units. I live in a duplex, and I'm 74 years old, and I am low income, so I can't afford to move anywhere, and my heart is breaking, and I am emotionally upset and physically upset about what is going on in California.
Okay, so the extra building is being adverse to you. Is that what you...
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Senate Bill number 9, Senate Bill number 10. People need to look at that. Amber, bringing us some opening our eyes to unlawful building in the back of her property.
Plus, they are removing, or they have removed, single-family residents. There is no more single-family residents. The law's gone.
Yeah. Actually, it's I think because of the overpopulation right now, I think they're actually pulling government down, so there's less hoops and bureaucratic hoops to build. Mm-hmm. And so now you can add extra, but you know, there still has to be within
balance.
Reason. You don't want to have a shanty town, you know, or something like that. So,
well, that's what's going to happen if you got $1 million house next door can build and look right down in your backyard.
Yeah, I'm for the permit process, but not for the financial part of it. It seems like 20% of your house is going to go to the city just for them to say yes, and I'm against that.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate Amber.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks
for calling.
God bless you, and we hope things work out for you.
God bless you too. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. So, yeah, it's a lot of things changing. A lot of things. Phone lines are open. So,
okay,
yeah.
Phone lines are open. Please give us a call. I have one thing I want to bring up. There's a verse actually in Scripture that says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And, you know, even though we're all about the military right now, we realize that there's a blessing on this nation that was because of the covenant that was made in 1620. Was it 1620? That initial covenant with the land and with God to bless the land 400 years ago. And I really believe that God is honoring that covenant. He wants to honor that covenant, but it's going to take a church to wake up and start using its voice to. But it's not about our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're supernatural, and we need to recognize that by just intention and of our heart, by praying to God and actually fighting and stepping in with courage, we will immediately start winning because the enemy is weak and he shrinks back immediately. He does this to us. He goes boo, and if we shrink back, he realizes he's taking ground. And I go, boo, and I keep doing it. And we need to not shrink back and say, hey, I see you. I'm not scared of you. You're a defeated foe. And I'm going to press forward and speak what I see. And if you're, you know, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Ghost in you, how you feel and see things is probably how God feels and sees things because you have God in you. So I just want to encourage us that, you know, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to use its voice. It's time for people that love the Lord to start speaking out against this darkness because we will see it overturned.
Absolutely. You know, the one of the things, you know, you have a Sunday school. As a kid, you have a Sunday school teacher, what, 1 hour a week? Mm-hmm. But how many hours do you have a teacher, whether public or private school? That is a greater influence many times because they have them for 6-7 hours a day, 5 days a week. And so for us not to be involved in our schools, not to be involved in our government, not to be involved in our community, outside the walls of the church, I would say it's just a travesty. And so we need to stop playing neutrality, trying to make things seeker sensitive. So all, you know, I don't want to say all are welcomed, but you don't have to change your message to make it not offend anybody.
Well, our job is not to make everybody like us.
That's right.
Our job is to do the will of the Lord.
Woe to those who all men say good things about you, right?
Yeah, and there's obvious darkness, there's obvious evil, and we need to push back against it because we know that that all we need to do is nothing and it's going to expand and get bigger. So that is not bringing politics in the church as though it shouldn't be together. We are called to be legislators for the kingdom of God, and we want to use our yes and our no when there's something that is coming against love, coming against life, coming against family, coming against businesses. We need to look at it and discern, is this something that we shouldn't be permitting? And we have let a lot of things come in, either through not knowing, or it's too much trouble, or like you said, Ron, we've been too busy. But now's the time to take back those things that we've given ground to.
Yeah, and this whole thing with the war in Ukraine and Russia, I think it's a massive distraction to get our eyes off of what's going on. Like, oh, don't look over here, look over here. Like, oh, we're going to have a war over here. To take our eyes off of the fact that the hell that our government has put us through in the last 2 years that needs to be held. Mm-hmm. Our government needs to be held accountable to that. And I think if they can start a war or start rumors of wars, they can get our eyes off. I was talking to someone who's a spouse of a firefighter in San Jose, and she said that during the last 2 years, his network of people, they saw no uptick of anything from COVID, except that in one weekend, they saw 3 teens kill themselves.
Mm.
That's the uptick they saw.
Yeah.
And our government needs to be held accountable for what they did to us. And I really believe it's part of this bigger plan by the World Economic Forum. They were planning for COVID-19 for 50 years. Do you know what else they're planning for right now? Something they call Cyber Polygon. You don't believe me? Go on their website. They are planning for a worldwide universal hack of the internet, shutting down businesses, shutting down financial situation, and they're planning for it just like they were planning for COVID, that it might possibly happen, so we're planning for it. But guess what would happen if you have a war that's starting with Russia, but it's not really a war, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, there's this cyber attack, and it came from Russia.
It's right? already been. It's already been voiced on the news. I've already heard it.
And then they're going to try to say that, oh, it's Russia's fault, and they're going to find a patsy to label on. And the people who are behind this need to be held accountable for what happened in the last two years. That they planned it, they orchestrated it from the very beginning. And you can look at the John Hopkins and their documents. The documentation is clearly there that this was planned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you just put the puzzle together, you know, they had the World Military Games in Wuhan in 2019 in October. When did they have the event 201? Wasn't that the same month? Mm-hmm. And that was about a coronavirus pandemic. You know, how would they play that out? You have the lab that's in Wuhan. You have funding from Fauci supporting Wuhan. I mean, everything just comes together, and it just stinks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just... That's planning.
Yeah, I'm confused that Fauci, he doesn't seem to be going any backpedaling at all. I am amazed that he is continuing to beat the drum of ridiculousness. Last week, he said that babies and toddlers should get COVID vaccines, and he hopes the FDA will authorize Pfizer's vaccines for 6 months to four-year-olds by spring of this year, and that it's supposed to be a three-vax series. You know, I don't know that he can't hear the murmuring. People are wanting to investigate. There's a lot of calls for this is crimes against humanity. Yep. We want to see the facts. There are major doctors and nurses and research people who have come forward with facts, and they want to debate him. Mm-hmm. At some point, he's going to have to face the fire. But right now, I am amazed that he just is going. He's still going great guns with the same old story that you just have to comply.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but Rand Paul took him to task on the gain-of-function research, which was, Rand Paul proved it, that they were using, that our tax dollars paid for gain-of-function research that was once being done in America, was moved to Wuhan under Obama because it was outlawed here. They moved it there. In their own documents, it says they're doing gain-of-function research. In the scientists that were there were doing gain-of-function research. Echo Health Alliance paid for it. And Rand Paul's like, here's the routing number. Here's the money. Here's where it came in. And this is the experiments they were doing. And he's like, oh, no, we weren't doing gain-of-function research. And then they changed the definition on their website. Like, it's all of the sleight of hand. And the thing is that Dr. Fauci's made $9 million personally on the Moderna vaccine. There's all of this massive conflict of interest.
Oh, yes.
Massive conflict. And it's like people that I know who have a brain would go, that's a horrible conflict of interest. There's no way that we can let that happen. And yet they're looking the other way on this. And because they've already decided that they believe the mainstream narrative. And like, dude, you like it's more difficult, but Mark Twain says it's more difficult to people to convince people that they've been fooled than it is to fool them. And that's what's going on. I can't convince people to actually look at the alternatives because people are so, like, once they got that jab, it's almost like they signed the paper that said they agree with everything. And now they would have to go back and go, oh, my gosh, I was horribly wrong. And the implications of that are so devastating that people can't even step into it, especially if you vaxxed your children and you vaxxed yourself. And, you know, you've already decided that you agree with all of this. So... Yeah,
we watched some videos of some kids. Last week, I watched three or four videos of kids speaking to the school boards. Mm-hmm. They were in tears talking about how depressed them and all their friends are, that their friends are killing themselves. It's heartbreaking.
We got a minute
left. We don't want to leave on a dark note like that because we do have... We have a message of hope. Part of the hope is that we are waking up.
That's right.
And just by discussing it, we're bringing things out in the open. Darkness can only thrive in the covert, occult, the hidden places.
Yep.
And so by just bringing it up, it might feel like it's overwhelming, but it's not. What do you have there, Brandon? You've got something.
Well, I was just going to say people have been sending us checks to donate to this show. Please continue to do so. Money has been coming in, and we're going to keep waking the bear. If you keep sponsoring us and listening to us, come back next week when we talk about devolution and the law of war. You're going to be fascinated. So,
all right.
Thanks
have
for listening
a good night.
To Wake the Bear Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love you, listeners.
This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO 1080 on your AM dial.